I would say almost everybody likes something that's real. You start to talk about food, you start to learn about how it's grown, and then you dabble a little bit in like growing your own tomatoes in your back garden. Most of the people that are attracted to what we talk about or what we created is anybody that just really appreciates the concept of food and nature and what that means to your body. What type of conversations are you having? What does that feel like? Wherever you are, if you can have your farm sign up, your market sign up, and your consumers, they can all interact with each other within their own little community, no matter where you're at.
It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Farm to Table has so many stories that are taking place all across the country. And one of the really interesting areas I'm keep getting attracted to are putting farmers together with consumers and solving the problems and dealing into the market space, farm workers, farm markets, local shoppers and farmers. And my guest today, Troy Rice, is right in the middle of all that. Troy, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you, Roger. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've created a company called FarmBridge.com. What is that?
Yeah. So it is what we like to call a local food ecosystem. And so throughout the last 2.5 years, we spent building a resource log and having conversations with farmers on what they need help with. And so we initially launched an online farmers market model based on some basic information that we understood, a need for trying to apply some type of online convenience model to farmers markets in Michigan, but we completely missed what the farmers actually needed. And so we took a step back and just started listening more. And what we ended up hearing was we ended up with 4 areas. And those 4 areas were hiring and retaining skillful workers on the farm, marketing and business. And because most farmers will tell you that they're excellent at growing, and some of them have been doing it for years, decades. But they need a little help with business, meaning what do their processes look like? How can they build efficiencies into their models, to their teams? How they can coach their teams on the farm to do better? How they can be more relational at markets? So if they don't attend a market themselves and they send one of their farmhands, how can they make sure that they educate their farmhands enough to have conversations with customers on their farm, how they grow it, what the importance of that food is? And so we just started keeping a resource log of all those things and all the marketing tools they would need. And then we came up with this idea of a local food ecosystem that connects 4 different users. It's for farmers, farm workers, farmers markets, and local shoppers all in one. And so to a farmer, when they sign up, they can build a profile that goes into a Google-like search engine where a customer can type in any type of geographical location, a farm, and a product, and it'll pull up their profile. But then on the back end, the farm has an opportunity to not only build their profile, but they can post jobs. They can create jobs for their farm and post it on their profile. They can search a farmer's workers database because the farm workers can sign up and build what we would like to call like a LinkedIn profile for farming, for the farming community. And so the farm worker signs up, builds a personal branding, their experience, what their preferred rate of pay is and everything, a resume. And then the farm has an opportunity to search that database for work that they need and communicate through our messaging system. The farmer can also access a lean farming program that we created. And so lean farming is, I would say, not a new concept, but it's newer to a lot of people. So Ben Hartman in Indiana wrote a book called The Lean Farm. And what he did is he brought in a coach that's very experienced in lean process improvement, which is a Toyota manufacturing model, and applied it to the farming industry.
So will you explain, just a second, you're saying lean, L-E-A-N, right?
Yes, I am.
Because, yes. It sounds close enough like mead and other things. I want to make sure I got that right, because I have heard of it before. That's really intriguing. I mean, I assume that it's just like trying to be lean personally. You try to get down to what's really necessary.
Yeah,
in the farming system.
Very high level. Toyota Manufacturing came up with the Lean Six Sigma or Lean Process Improvement Model, for which a lot of industries across the world have been implementing into what they particularly do. And so it can be applied to any industry. And so one thing that's been coming around right now is into farming. And so Ben Hartman is most notably for bringing in a coach and having them retool his entire farm in Indiana, and then writing a book about his experience and what it means. And so lean farming basically is being able to go through all your processes on the farm and figure out what is wasteful, like what's actually rising costs, what's actually creating waste, what's not allowing you to be the most profitable farm possible. And why Ben chose to do it and what his book talks about is to run a lean farm means that it doesn't matter what size you are. And you're not always trying to attract more size. You're always trying to run a better efficient business with what you have. And then you grow based on what the need is of the customer. And so we created an online course program. It's a 3-part course that we wrote. And in that program, it teaches around the lean basics. So what does lean mean? How can you apply it on your farm? But then also we worked with farms across the U.S. to bring in videos from farms that are actually implementing lean farming practices on their farm, so that farms can not only learn the techniques and practices from us, but they can also learn how they're actually implementing across the country. And so that's something that's provided as an educational tool that we have on the farm's profile. We provide coaching. And what that looks like is I'll go out to a farm and we'll observe their entire process. We'll draft up what's called a project charter of things that we can help them improve on their farm. We do process maps, brainstorming sessions with their teams. We create visual aids, which has been pretty powerful, where you go through and not only document a standard operating procedure, but you put it into a visual cue aid on the farm where you can give to anybody that goes and helps out, whether it's somebody that's worked on your farm for years, or if you're involved in a work share program and you have people in the community help out for shares of food, you can literally give them this visual cue and it'll teach them how to harvest a particular crop. And so it's been a very powerful tool for teaching and minimizing time efficiencies on the farm. And so that's part of the farm program. They can also add products through our online purchasing system. They can tag a farmer's market that they attend through our database that's within there. And then they have a list of resources, including financial aid help, mental health resources. And then also, I believe, Roger, you introduced them on your podcast here. We are doing a partnership with Localine as well. And so we have resources on there about helping farmers market online better too.
That's incredible. That's so much. And a couple of things struck me. One is the people that are deciding that they want to be a farmer, or they get a small acreage, or somehow they're able to get started. If they could, they would travel all over the country. And in fact, I've run into many that are farming that they were first woofers, but worldwide opportunities in organic farming. And they go work on a farm for a year or two somewhere, and they're learning about it. And then they get an opportunity through some other organizations that I've talked to be able to get started, where somebody is wanting to help a farmer get started and gets land available to them. But they're using those practices. The other thing, I've talked to some people that had literally the old-fashioned Volkswagen vans, and they went out and started traveling the country. What you're doing, in a way, is shortcutting that. Then people can't take 2 years off and go work on a farm necessarily. They can get ideas, and they can't necessarily take their van and, you know, quit their day job at the time necessarily and go traipsing around. So you must be out there traipsing around, or you get somebody that can, that's videoing and doing the interviews with these farmers that are not bashful, apparently, about sharing what works for them.
Yeah. And what's cool about it is on the program we created a discussion. So you can go on there and you can actually communicate back and forth with farms that are going through the program. And then we've created an ideation group as well within a course program where farms can communicate to each other directly on their farming practices. But most farms are, and so this is unique too. When we built that course program, we also created it in a way so that if you are very good at something, let's say you've been growing carrots for 10 years and you're very good at it, you can actually go on our platform and create your own course about harvesting carrots or growing carrots. And then we can create a revenue sharing program for you where you get paid for the course that you create. And then we just take a small piece for hosting the content and then marketing it for you. And so that's one small piece out there that some farms are engaging in as well. So you'll see there'll be a beekeeping course on there coming soon. How to run a CSA farm with a delivery model that was created from the farm will be on there soon. We have experienced writing coaches that are writing courses on there to help farms think about writing thoughtful content. Because if they're diving into social media and newsletters and blogs, we want to be able to provide them the writing tools to be able to connect with the customer in the most thoughtful way. And so we have a course coming for that to help them with that as well. And so it'll become this educational tool that just happens to sit in the back end behind our ecosystem model.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can put all of that in a platform. And to get back to this idea of sharing ideas, and the thing I've always, one of the things I've always liked about farmers is they're not bashful about sharing. You mean, I can remember driving up onto farms all over the country. I think I've been in almost every state in the country on a farm, and you can, and they're quick to get you to jump in the pickup truck with them and go out and see the herd of cattle or the sheep or the goats, or take you out and walk through the fields. And they're always happy to share. In that same process, if you've got some better ideas, they're hoping to pick your brain too, but they just tend to be generous people about helping other people try to get on their feet and learn from the lessons that they've learned.
Hey, Roger, every farm that I went and met with, and I always, my intention was to always lead with a conversation of empathy anyways, but every farmer I met with, especially when we were doing the online farmers market model, it was never a conversation about that. We would sit down at their table, we would talk about their journey, what they're doing, things that they would like to do, more just a basic conversation. And that led to us learning about how we could help better. But then also they invited our family over. Like one of the farmers invited us and our kids to come out every Sunday to have dinner with their farm and their farm food. Our kids hang out at the local farm down the road here that I'm coaching and play on the bales of hay all the time. And so it becomes more of a relationship around food and less about what type of services and business can I sell you.
You know, that kind of attitude leads us to the end consumer too. When you talk about shoppers that are, because you're opening up these avenues where people can see somebody that's authentic, not holding back. I have I've yet to run into people that weren't satisfied when they talked to almost any farmer. You know, they say, well, do you have this kind of production system, or are you non-GMO, or are you natural, or are you all the other things? But if you can line anybody up with a farmer, they can explain, here are my practices, here's what I'm doing, here's the varieties I'm or breeds that I'm selecting, here's how the animals are treated, here's how the farm is treated, here's what I'm doing to the soil. And 100% of the time, you know, the consumer says, I'm in. I just wanted to be sure you were the real deal and you could be honest with me. So that exists, but you're facilitating that kind of interaction too, aren't you?
Yeah. So we talked about the farm side, but so and a little bit about the farm worker and how they can build a profile, but we've also created a farmer's market database where farmer's market operators can go on there, sign up their market, share information around food assistant programs. There's resources on there for them. And then we also have a search engine for that. Consumers can type in search engine for that. And then to a consumer, not only can they search for farms, they learn about the farming practices, all their contact information. They can engage in a communication. There's a messaging system built on there so they can communicate directly with the farmer if they would like. And then right now we're working with local organizations to build food literacy programs for parents and kids. And so what that looks like is inside the program or inside their dashboard, because not only can they just search around on there, they actually create an account, they have a dashboard just like the farmer's market in the farm. And then on there is a list of resources that the parents can engage in. And what it will be is, do you know about where your food comes from? And there'll be information in there about that. And then it's, do you know the importance of consuming local food and what it does to your body? There was a book written called Lifespan that talks a lot about voltage, where things that you eat so close to where you live provide you the best nutrient dense abilities for growing your body. And so we want to be able to put that in there to teach them how cool and important it is to eat from local farms. And then most importantly, the last piece is something they can help act on, because we know that, and naturally, this is kind of what I talk about in schools as a freelance job, but naturally we all lean on convenience because it saves the one thing we never get back, which is time. And so we try to build a model around habits to help you understand, like, why do kids consume so many high processed sugary foods? Why in school systems do they have that type of stuff there? And how can you break that down, knowing that we always favor convenience over driving 5 minutes down the road to get vegetables that were just grown and picked yesterday versus having it grabbed at a grocery store or who knows, it could have traveled from 1500 miles to get there. And so we want to build better habits for them in the home to help teach them why they feel the need to do that and how we can kind of build an easier way of awareness and creation in the home to help the parent actually have the kid want to eat better food when it's presented to them instead of thinking pizza before a salad. And so we're to provide that educational aspect to the consumer as in addition to finding food.
You know, for some odd reason, while you're describing this, I'm thinking about all the places you can't go anymore. You know, like you haven't been able to go to shopping centers were fun because you could kind of go wander in there and there'd be all these shops. You didn't know what you were going to see that was interesting. And you could roam around and state fairs, which miss state fairs. They've been, I think, pretty much all shut down. County fairs shut down. And you used to like to go roam around here. But this is kind of in the virtual world. You know, you've got this space that connects farmers, people that are interested in farmers, people that are interested in eating, people interested in working, people interested in wanting to be a farm. And of that broad mixed audience, one thing they'd have in common is that they kind of appreciate the real, authentic, they're pretty passionate about learning. And I would think an awful lot of the people, both the consumers and the farmers themselves, are fairly new to this. This is not something that they've been doing for decades, that they find themselves drawn to either knowing more about farms or farming, food, or being farmers themselves. That's got to be exciting too.
Yes. Yeah. And so one thing we like to talk about as well, so most times when you think of like an online marketplace to a farm, it's, well, I may only grow for my family. Like I'm a typical homesteader or farmstead or a hobby farm, and I just grow for my family. We invite them to sign up too, because we believe that the educational community of knowing those that care to start a farm, that teach their kids about farming, that grow the food, that even if they have a small piece that they could sell to their neighbors or whatever, it still builds an educational tool on there to help people understand what is around them. And so we've been promoting to have hobby farms and homesteads sign up too, because the more people on there that are sharing their journey into food and with their families, the more inspirational it is for people to understand where their food comes from and start to care about the food that they put in their body.
You know, I think almost everywhere in the country now, you can find neighborhoods that are putting raised beds in their yards and sometimes in their front yards. I know where I live, I go up take the dog out for a walk, and I can't, there's a half dozen or so front yards filled with incredible amount of food that they're growing. And mm-hmm. Here in Sacramento, there are several little in-town farms that have farm stands within the city and producing unbelievable amount of fruits and vegetables. I suspect they haven't been able to quit their day job, but they are making enough money that they can have a couple other kind of gigs going on that they can support their family. And you're being in the middle of Michigan, you've got a perspective. You know, California has done some of these things for several years, but it is all across the country. And I'm curious, what are you seeing where the interest is around the United States? Because you're hearing, getting feedback and perhaps offering services to people that are way beyond Grand Rapids.
Yeah. Our platform is global. Actually, we designed it that way. We naturally have most of the farms that have signed up on there are from Michigan, just naturally because that's where we're at. But we have stores around there, even as far as Trinidad, that is curious about it. the platform itself is actually designed to create local food economies wherever you're at. And so what we try to say is, like, wherever you are, if you can have your farm sign up, your market sign up, and your consumers, they can all interact with each other within their own little community, no matter where you're at. And that's the way that we designed it. But we started to see this trend a little bit in 2019, where people started to care a little bit more around where their food comes from. And we know, just based on our research, like you said, like California and other pockets of the U.S., have already caught this trend. And so most notably, like, there's case studies being done around Maine and Vermont, most often about implementation of food policies down to the municipality level with institutions. And so that was an area that we really cared about too. And we know California's pockets are really good at this, because there are a lot of areas around the United States that are not. I mean, there are a lot of institutions and school programs that have all budget dollars or a majority of budget dollars go to large distributors of food service products, right? And what we know about that is that kind of sidelines the marketing model for local farming. And so now small farms and local farms have to figure out how to sell predominantly to either a farmer's market or run a small CSA program and try to get as much as they can so that they can operate. And then what we know, the statistic too, is around most small farms have additional revenue streams because they can't support it with the revenue that they're making on the farm. And so there's so many things that are connected here, but with people's interest and wanting to know more, that's what gave us the spark to try to create this local food economy across anywhere that we could, because as long as consumers are out there searching for it, we want to make sure that we put it right in front of them. And even if a farm doesn't have an online store set up or whatever, they can still engage in this platform and create a purchase order directly with the consumer, where we don't have to be the middleman at all. And the neighbor that's down the road can actually talk to you about what you grow. And then it starts from there. The conversation starts from there. And then we could start to build, well, our intention is too, is we can start to build statistical data around what people care about, what they're searching for, what areas and farms support what types of food, and then use that data for implementing food policies at the municipality level by sharing the data and saying, hey, this is the demand. How can we increase this demand? How can we put more dollars in our communities towards these particular areas? How can we influence the large-scale distributors of food to purchase more local, because this is what people care about, and here's how we're going to support it with data? And so we figured the more that we do that, the more data we capture, the more organizations we work with, like the Center for Good Food Purchasing, will help us to actually start implementing more dollars spent in the community around local food.
Now, it's really exciting. Now, did you grow up on a farm yourself?
I personally did not. My grandparents owned a farm, so I grew up with a background of being on a farm as a kid. Uh-huh. My wife didn't. She lived in the country setting. We were both country people in Michigan. But really, like I said, it came from just a better desire to eat healthy ourselves, but then also to teach our kids and the importance of wanting to be in the kitchen, and how being in the kitchen actually inspires you to want to eat the food. Eat the salads that you make, eat the vegetables that you make. This is our part, I guess, of giving back to help out other parents out there that want to do this, but then struggle to.
So were you in some sort of digital business that you had to leave to create this?
Nope. I learned all of this from scratch.
Really? So,
yes. Like I mentioned before, I actually went to school at a Division II school in Michigan for finance and accounting, and it was during 2008. And so I just latched on to any job that I could get at that point on financial crisis, and then was managed to stick it out in some type of financial capacity, really cared to help people. And so even though I had a financial background, I was tasked with building culture programs, like a recognition program, work at home programs, leadership programs, and stuff like that for the organization. And did very minimal in website development, digital marketing, data analytics. I just decided that I wanted to create something, and then I started leveraging the people that I knew best, that knew how to do it, and then just ask them a bunch of questions. Well, how are you doing that? What does data architecting mean? How can you structure the data in a way that you can make sense of it and help people use it? What does digital marketing look like? How can you build an effective website? And so what I soon learned is, even though I was trying to teach myself, I knew I wasn't going to be an expert because it wasn't going to be something I wanted to personally focus in. I just wanted to know enough so that I could be able to be educated in it and then be able to leverage others' expertise. And so I've been fortunate to be connected with individuals that are very good at these things to be able to create the best model possible for the consumer to use, with me being able to focus on what I do best, which is relationships in the community and meeting with farms.
You know, I did grow up in the Midwest, and I'm thinking of, and I've been in Michigan quite a bit and around the Midwest. But one memory I have is that the way you found out what was going on is that there were these field days, and sometimes the county extension office would have a couple dates a year that you could go, and you were going to go visit like four or five farms. So everybody, you know, there would be, I don't know, dozens or 30 or 40 or 50 or something, and they caravan, and they go to a farm, and then they go out, and they stand around, and the extension agent would talk to the farmer and tell him what he's doing there, and they say, okay, get in the car, we're going to go to Harry's place next, and you go off. And, you know, thinking about that, it was really great to do that. But again, you're providing that link of connecting the information, of connecting what people are looking for. And I think it's really exciting. And you're not the expert, that you personally aren't been building out the websites, right? You have people that you subcontract with to put the websites together and the platform for paying for products and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So interesting enough, I did. So the initial online marketing model in 2019, I did build myself. And then I was creating websites for farms, even though I was very basic in it, but they needed something. Nowadays, though, we do. There are a team of people that we work with. And then the new platform was built from scratch with a local IT team that was a friend of mine, actually. And so I didn't have to build that out. And for websites and store stuff, I either refer it to companies like Local Line now, or if somebody wants a basic website built for a couple $100, then we have a team of people that can do that too. And I don't think I mentioned this either, but everything that we built on the platform is free. So the farmer signs up, it's free. The farmer worker signs up, it's free. The local shopper, it's free. And the market, it's free. Because we didn't want to create friction in building any type of subscription model, knowing that that's not what we were going to be good at. We're good at actually sharing the information and trying to work with organizations in communities across the U.S. or the world to implement policies around that. And so eventually our revenue model for our business will be in the data and marketing space with community relationships. And so we made this free.
Well, explain that a little bit more. I mean, how will you make money?
Yeah. So what we did when we architected FarmBridge was we created a bunch of different data models. And what that means is we are learning what the customer is searching for. We are learning different farms and areas, what they grow. We're trying to triangulate like how much is grown of a particular thing within a particular area. The traffic of people search from a geographical area. And then what we do is we take that data and then we work with affiliate partnerships either in the community or across the world to not only implement policy, but to help run targeted marketing ads. And so if you are an organization, let's say like even you're a farms conference and you're looking to engage with those in the community that care about something, we're looking to be able to share that information so that they can create a marketing piece that will reach those people that search our site. For a restaurant, if you're a farm-to-table restaurant and you care to meet with a particular city, we'll have data that supports what type of people in that city and what they search for to help them not only market or advertise, but also to think through like building their menus. Like what are people typically buying a lot of strawberries or whatever within this particular area? And should you consider creating an appetizer dish around honey glazed strawberries or something? And so we're going to use that data information to create advertising revenue and then data revenue working with the relationship partners.
you must have to be using a server farm someplace. I mean, you've got a lot of a cloud storage in front of you, right? More than you can probably get into the laptop you're using.
Yeah, we have. So we run all of our servers off of Amazon. Amazon allows you to access cloud storage servers. And so all of that is run off of those databases. And it feeds into cloud storage that we've purchased, and then we'll continue to grow. And then it's really on us to architect the data into meaningful information to be able to share with people.
Well, it's really exciting to see things like this happening. I'm wondering, if you look across the country and the people that are your customers and the people that you're dealing with, is there a common characteristic? If you were going to say, okay, these are my people, I mean, is there something about either their attitude or their, I guess, incentives and motivations that pretty much goes across the board?
In a basic way, I would say nature. And why I stick to nature is, I would say almost everybody likes something that's real. And what that looks like to everybody is a little different. But when you start to talk about food, and then you start to learn about how it's grown, and then you dabble a little bit in like growing your own tomatoes in your back garden, and then start making salsa with your family or having your kids pick the tomatoes, there's something really real about that. And because it's so close to the earth. And so, you know, I'd like to say that most of the people that are attracted to what we talk about or what we created, but is anybody that just really appreciates the concept of food and nature and what that means to your body, like how that makes you feel healthy, how that, the conversations that you have around food, because we all enjoy food. And so, what type of conversations are you having? What does that feel like? You know, and how are your kids interacting with that? One thing that's really neat that my wife and I love is, you know, before COVID and everything and now homeschooling, like I mentioned before, our son that's four was in a nature-based program here in Michigan, and they learned all outside. And what was really cool about it is within their area that they learned, they had all these different fruit trees. They have a maple tree. They do field trips to nature parks and farms often, and they believe in teaching people around the history of culture and how farms came to be and the farm model of, like, this is what you produce in your community and this is what the community eats. And the school system was kind of doing that with the kids, and that was magical. And that's something that we really want to inspire to do more of. And so when we're trying to connect with people, we're really trying to get to what's real for people in life. And we're hoping that food is an avenue for us.
Well, and you know, one other thing that this reminds me, if we go back to something you said earlier, is that, well, first of all, people can plug into it for free, but making it accessible to all sizes and shapes, and the fact that you're not discounting somebody that starting out with a few tomato plants on the balcony of their condominium, you know, and all the way up to your yard, your backyard, to a farm where you're employing other people and shipping multi-states, but that you can't get much more big tent than that.
I think we all have something to learn from somebody else, you know? And so if you're somebody that just started something real small, let's call it an herb garden out your back deck, and you're doing something that's unique to at least those that are your neighbors, and then all of a sudden your neighbor starts to think about growing some herbs, and then that translates into a little mini, you know, 8x8 foot garden, then I think that's powerful. And then what does that mean to the kids that live there? You know, even if they never end up working on a farm, but they garden, like they actually help you plant, they help you prune, they help you harvest, they help you make it. Like they're, what our kids love to do is can, you know, like yesterday we went out to a peach farm and we brought them back, and then we had the kids can with us in the kitchen. And so how fun is that, you know, and the kids get to learn it. And so, you know, like you said, it starts small. It starts with that one person that's doing something small right in their backyard.
But wrapping up, let me ask you then one other thing. If you look down the road like 5 years, and you see you're enthusiastic right now, what do you hope to be enthusiastic about 5 years from now? And say, oh, I feel good. This is we're doing the right thing. Where are you when you feel that well about the space that you're in?
when we see school systems that are predominantly purchasing from local foods or local farms, whether that means directly or indirectly, meaning that if there's a large distributor in the area that the food is coming from the farms in the area, and that's what they're spending the dollars on. That in grocery stores, it's not just said that it comes from local farms nearby, that it actually is, and that it shows where the farm is, as the farm name, as their practice. It tells them more information about them. Maybe even like a product code. So we have product codes and everything for all our packaged goods. Well, how cool would it be to actually have a product code around farm food? Like, this product was organically grown, you know, 10 miles from your house. Like, that would be awesome. And then to have little community gardens. And so we have this idea. We're working with a, it's actually a farm and ministry farm in Michigan. And they are very good at not only running a farm, but involving the community from a school and from a religious aspect. But what we branched off of that is, since nowadays we're building houses right on top of each other and these subdivisions and your backyard or somebody else's backyard, what if we could teach people to grow community gardens in their neighborhoods? And we know that it wouldn't be enough to support their entire family of food, and so they would hopefully buy from local farms and everything, or local grocery stores, local farms, but they could grow a community garden together. And then with that, they're not only teaching themselves, but they're teaching their kids about gardening and everything, and then they're doing it together. So there's nothing more like a neighborhood community in your backyard and using that space to grow food.
Oh, I like that picture. If people want to know more about your program, where do they find you?
Yeah, it's farmbridge.com. So that's farmbrigge.com. All the information's on there. Again, they can sign up. It's free. If they want to learn more about what we're doing in the community and everything, they can reach out to me directly. I'd love to have a conversation with them. They can reach me at troy.rice@farmbridge.com.
And FarmBridge, it's good to remind him again that the spelling is B-R-I-G-G-E, which is Old English for bridge, right?
That's correct. That's correct. Okay.
Well, listen,
actually say brig. So.
Yeah, it's exciting what you're doing, and it's happening quick, and you're serving a lot of people and everything from customers and farmers and people that care about their food and how it's grown, and that's what we're all about. So I want to thank you for being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you, Roger. Thanks for having me. I love these conversations. So.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson. If you like what you hear, go to farmtotabletalk.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or go to iTunes to subscribe and give us a review and a rating. Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.